Start recording.
Great. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. We'll get started. Just one or two business items first before we get to our guests. So if I could have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from March 21st.
So moved, Lori Spielman.
Thank you, Lori. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Robert. Any changes to the minutes as presented? Don't see or hear any. So therefore, all those in favor of adopting as presented, please say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Anyone opposed or abstaining? All right. So we've got that item out of the way. Gonna skip reports from chair and staff so we can go right to our guest, and I'm gonna turn it over to Eric Snowden to introduce David.
Okay, well, I'm happy to introduce David Palmbach. He was formerly of the Connecticut Intelligence Center as an intelligence analyst, and now he's moved up to the Federal Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, where he's a cybersecurity advisor, and he's here to talk about some of the stuff they do and what they offer. So take it away, Dave.
Perfect. Thank you. Much appreciated. Get my slide deck up here. All right. So without further ado, a short presentation today, really just going to do a high level of CISA services for building operational resilience. Like Eric said, I'm the cybersecurity advisor for the state of Connecticut. Get a little bit more into what that means later on. So what is CISA? CISA is the newest or one of the newest federal cybersecurity agencies. We fall within the Department of Homeland Security, and really what our job is a risk management agency. So we're all left of boom trying to increase operational resilience. A number of ways we do that. We have a lot of free resources, a lot of free tools, assessments, really all geared towards all of our critical infrastructure sectors. Our security advisor program. Sorry, pop-ups on my screen. So the way CISA breaks it down, we are actually regionalized. We have a lot of people down in our Washington, D.C. headquarters that do a lot of great services. But for your day-to-day interactions, you're actually working with someone who's regional, local to you. So every state in the country has a cybersecurity advisor, CSA, a physical security advisor, PSA, and a number of other regional staff that support them. So for Region 1, we're all of New England. Your CSA is me. I support the state of Connecticut from the cyber side of things. Brian Grand is your physical security advisor, covers all of our physical security. Melissa Nazaro does our emergency communications for the whole region, but she also works with the state of Connecticut. And then we have a whole bunch of other resources, again, which I'll cover a little bit later on. So with regards to our assessments, really our bread and butter is coming out and doing assessments. That's kind of how we gauge where an organization's at and kind of gear and tailor all of our resources to a specific organization to fit their specific needs. We'll do assessments and work with entities ranging all the way from mom and pop shops all the way up to Fortune 500 companies. So we do have a broad range of assessments, a broad range of products that are geared towards different stakeholders. Again, just kind of based on what their needs are. Nice thing about our assessments is it does not share attributable information without written and agreed consent from the stakeholder. When we come out and we do an assessment for you, the information is yours. It's intended to be for you to rebuild or to work on your organization's operational resilience. We don't share that information, and we actually went a step further. And we have some federal law that actually helps you protect the results for an assessment. So if you wanted to, we give you the results for your assessment. You can get what's called PCII protections, protected critical infrastructure information. And essentially that will protect the results of that assessment from any FOIAs, regulatory disclosures, state laws. It's pretty much ironclad. That information will not go out so long as you don't want it to go out. So really nice kind of added protection that we have with CISA assessments. Anytime you come out and you do an assessment with us, you're going to get a nice big detailed report. It's going to have answers to all the questions. It's going to have recommendations for everything that we discussed during the assessment. Nice high level charts that kind of break down your overall posture. Some of our assessments actually have comparative analysis, so it'll show you how your organization stacks up against other similar size organizations. So you can kind of see, you know, compared to other organizations like us, where we're really stacking up in these different domains. And then for our cybersecurity side, they're all crosswalked back to NIST, if you're familiar with that. Bring our physical security resources briefly before I dive into some of the cyber stuff. All these things on the left are kind of like the high-level things that Brian would provide. Security at first entry or safe assessments is kind of our smaller starting assessment on the physical security side of things, about 3 hours long, includes a walkthrough. And the IST or infrastructure survey tool is really the big assessment that Brian does a lot. Several hundred questions long, about a full day worth of interviews with people from all over your organization and department, and then a detailed walkthrough at the end of it as well. And here's just kind of a picture of some of the data fields that are covered in that particular assessment. Again, so very robust assessments done on the physical security side of things. For our cybersecurity assessments, these are the five big assessments we're currently offering, kind of in order of maturity. So up top, starting with the cyber performance goals, this is really CISA's basic cybersecurity goals. 38 practices we're trying to have every organization meet in the world of cybersecurity. So typically when we're engaging with someone, we start with the basics. Once an organization has those basics down in cybersecurity, that's when we start to move into more mature and in-depth assessments. Our cyber infrastructure survey really focused on technical controls, you know, exactly how are you protecting your organization, and then moving down once we get to our cyber resilience essentials assessment, that's when we start taking a step back and looking at things at a more high strategic level, policies, planning, the actual structure of your organization, and resiliency as a whole. So kind of a journey to walk through our assessments, starting all the way from the basics, going all the way to a very, very mature program. Cyber hygiene vulnerability scanning, definitely one of our better free services that we're strongly pushing right now. Essentially any critical infrastructure entities that want to sign up, we will scan any of their external facing assets for vulnerabilities, and then we'll provide them a nice weekly report that'll say any kind of security problems that we were able to identify in that tool. Really easy to read, great report. Again, it's completely free, and kind of an added benefit to that is we did just release a new program for reporting when ransomware actors are exploiting certain vulnerabilities. So if we get some information from one of our partners that a particular ransomware actor is using a certain vulnerability, we'll actually go out and do additional scans for that. And then you would get a phone call from me notifying you, hey, one of your assets is vulnerable to this, and it looks like there's a ransomware actor that's currently exploiting it. So kind of an added benefit to that service as well. We do manage the .gov top level domain, and we're currently trying to push all of our local municipalities and government entities to move over onto the .gov, mainly for mis and disinformation purposes. We want to make sure that people in the public are able to easily identify you as a trusted source of information, and it really would help us out if everyone was on the .gov domain. Cybersecurity exercises and training. We have a ton of really, really great tabletop exercise packages, pre-baked, done, sitting on our website. You can see here we have 71 physical security scenarios, 15 cybersecurity, and 2 convergence scenarios. So lots of different scenarios that you can pull down. And the nice thing about the exercise packages is they're completely done. You download them, they have everything from the background, the discussion questions, the scenario, everything's already done. You really just need to put your name on the top, find a time, sit down and run the exercise. You could download those and run them internally with your own organization or with partners, or you could give me a call. We also have exercise resources available at our regional level and our headquarters level, which could come out and actually help facilitate and run an exercise. So lots of great exercise materials and resources on that front. Just reach out and let me know if that's something you're interested in. And then FedBTE here down at the bottom, that's actually an online training environment that government entities can get access to. Tons and tons of great courses in there, primarily on the cyber side of things. But again, just free training available to you. For information sharing, we are trying to get everyone to come over onto our distribution list. We did a great job at kind of bifurcating it and breaking it down so you're not getting your inbox blown up from emails from CISA. So when you sign up for our distribution list, I think there's about 40 different boxes you can check depending on what information you're interested in. And you can really kind of filter that down to make sure you're just receiving the stuff that you want to receive from us. For additional resources, I would also recommend everyone get in contact with and make sure you're available, aware of the services provided by CTIC. That's your State Fusion Center. Tons and tons of great information there from an intelligence point of view and really focused on emerging threats and what's on the horizon. And in addition to that, the Homeland Security Information Network, or HISIN, it's basically the Google for intelligence products run by the Department of Homeland Security. You can get an account there, and it's really helpful for, again, doing research on threats and risks to your organization. Two more additional resources. MSISAC has some great resources, again, free to the public sector, particularly their malicious domain blocking and reporting, MDBR. Basically, it's a tool that will help stop your users from going out and visiting malicious websites or downloading malware. Great service, completely free to you. And the other great free resource I like to pitch is the Center for Internet Security. They have benchmarks, security benchmarks, which basically tell you how to securely configure the different assets in your environment. All those are completely freely available, and there's a lot of tools that go along with them as well. Last slide I have here is just a list of free cybersecurity services and tools that we've put together on our website, not specific to CISA. It's definitely tons of different vendors and tools we found around the internet that we think are useful, and certainly it's helpful to our small to medium organizations that may not have huge budgets. That covers it. Really high level presentation. We have a lot of different resources, a lot of additional tools. I just didn't have the time to cover today, but really the theme of this presentation is if you need something from cybersecurity or physical security, reach out to me and Brian. We're your local go-to resources, here to answer questions, here to provide resources to you. It's our job to know where the resources are. So just reach out to me or Brian. We'd be happy to facilitate and get you whatever you need. That's it. Pending any questions.
Well, thank you, David. That is a whole host of information that I know I personally wasn't completely aware of. Had knew a little bit about it, but that's fantastic amount of resources available to us. So I'm going to open it up to the full committee. Anybody have questions for David? I've got a bunch of questions. I'm not sure if I can frame them and articulate them at this point in time.
If anything, just write down my email. Yep. Like I said, I'm your local advisor. So call me, email me, text me anytime you guys need anything or you have any questions. No questions, a stupid question. Just reach out and know that we have a lot of tools here and we're wanting to help. So again, I'm the CSA, I do cyber, and Brian's the PSA, he does physical.
Right. Eric, did you have your hand raised? Did you want to?
I did. Why don't you let Matt go first? I just wanted to give a little more information on our committee. So.
Yeah, thank you very much, David, for your informative presentation and your good work. Can you go over again one of our member towns, if they'd like an assessment from your agency, can you go over the process they would utilize again to request that?
Yep, so they would just reach out directly to me. Like I said, typically we'll start with that basics assessment, very easy, 38 questions. And then kind of based on that, I'll give them a whole bunch of resources from CISA to help them kind of fill any holes in that. Once they feel like they have a good grasp on the basics, then we can kind of, pick a different assessment to see, depending on what the organization needs to move forward. But simply, it's just them reaching out to me and we'll start to have the conversations. Good question.
Good. And Kim, maybe we can do a follow-up communication to the larger membership on this.
David, that kind of piqued interest. And would you do a, say a community had a wastewater or water treatment plant, you'll go in there and just look at their that system only, and if that's what they wanted, an assessment regarding their SCADA or their system there, or does that have to be organization-wide?
Good question. So we'll obviously tailor to whatever the organization needs. With that being said, I would probably recommend them doing an assessment organization-wide because we need the organization as a whole to be secure. You know, if you have a gap in the organization as a whole, that could bleed over and infect your OT or your ICS environment. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of work with our wastewater sector. It's actually one of our four priority sectors for the year right now. So definitely would love to work with anyone in the wastewater sector.
Anybody else have any questions? A great opportunity to ask David while we got him here to pick his brain a little bit. So David, I know I believe the state National Guard was doing some assessments. Are they linked with a partner with your office, or how does it, what's that connection there? I know they're doing some stuff with town clerks or registrar of voters, I believe.
Yeah, so Connecticut National Guard went out and did a lot of assessments with local municipalities recently. Great assessments. I actually sat in on a few with them, worked with their team. We work great with the Connecticut National Guard and all the partners we have in the state. Our assessments are a little bit different. There's a little bit of overlap as well, but we do different assessments complementary to theirs. I wouldn't say, you know, one's any better than another. But yeah, we work great with them. Great assessments from their end, and happy to have them as a partner in the state.
And so if a community's recently gone through that, would you, it's not too redundant, it would be
certainly not
worthwhile to do it?
Yeah, so like I said, the way we kind of look at our assessments is a journey of kind of growing the maturity of an organization, right? So we'll start at the basics. Our CPG assessment, I would say, is pretty similar to the assessment the National Guard did, really focused on the basics, high-level cybersecurity concepts. Once an organization has those down, that's when we kind of move into some of our more in-detail assessments that are really starting to look at policies, planning, how your organization functions, much more in-detail assessments. So, for example, if an organization went out and did an assessment with the Connecticut National Guard, we might just skip right over and go to some of those more in-detail assessments. So very complimentary. And we have worked with a few organizations that have already had assessments from the National Guard.
Peter?
Yes.
Mark? I've got a question for David. We're kind of Columbia. We're contracted with Novus Insight through CROG. And we're in our third year of cybersecurity upgrading. Would Novus actually work directly with your organization? How does that work with a town?
Yeah, so if you have a managed service provider, we can certainly sit down with them and you and go through the full assessment. We've done that on a number of occasions. A lot of smaller organizations have managed service providers. So I would just say, you know, we'll set up a time. We'll have the managed service provider there, maybe a representative from your organization, and we'll sit down as a group and we'll run through the assessment. Could kind of give you a better idea as to, you know, where your cybersecurity stands and, you know, maybe help bridge the gap in communication there. I know sometimes it can be hard to express needs for certain cybersecurity things. It's kind of one of the places our cyber assessments are nice because it can kind of lay out and prioritize, you know, what we would recommend from the federal government your cybersecurity needs are and say, hey, this is really your top priority for the next year is these three things. So we've had a lot of success in that area. Good question.
Okay.
All righty. Anybody else have a question for David or for the group?
Peter, it looks like Eric has a few details.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind folks that we host a bi-monthly, it's the Demis Region 3 Cybersecurity Task Force every 2 months, which Dave often gives updates on, and we get much more into the weeds on this kind of stuff. And there's a lot of discussion between the IT managers in all of our municipalities. I think most of your IT managers or someone from your town probably attends those meetings. But if not, please have them talk to me and I'll get them on board. And there's also a monthly state cyber committee meeting that Dave is often on where a lot of these things are discussed. Assessments are really something that are really getting rolling in the state right now, thanks to David and to the Connecticut National Guard.
Great. Thanks for that reminder, Eric. Well, the monthly and every other month meetings. So, all right. So would it be possible, Kim, for you to work with Dave to share that slide deck?
Absolutely.
Just that way there we've got all the contact information and that special, that good information on that free training resources in the tabletop resources.
Great. I really appreciate you guys taking the time and letting me join in on this meeting and speak about our resources. So thank you for that. And like I said, reach out if you need anything, cybersecurity, physical security, or really anything in the likes. So much appreciated. And let me know if you guys need anything.
Well, thank you very much, David. And I'm sure some of us will be reaching out to you soon. Alrighty. Okay. So I don't have, under reports of chair and staff, I don't have anything particular to report. So I'm going to move on to Matt. If you want, had some thoughts to share, and maybe if you want to talk a little bit about the land use and development item here, which is going to be going to push off the formal discussion until the next meeting. But if you want to kind of tee that up, Matt, for our next upcoming meeting.
I'd be happy to do that, Peter. I'll actually lead off with that. And then I've got a handful of items to touch on, as you see on the slide here, as does Pauline. And then we can wrap up with Kim. Kim has some items too. So with respect to our new Department of Regional Planning and Development and Land Use and Development Services to our member towns, as you all will recall, as I announced at our last meeting, we were very pleased to promote Caitlin Palmer as our director of that department, and would like to invite Caitlin and key members of her team to come in, ideally at your next meeting, if not in September, just to talk a little bit about the work that they do, the work that they're contemplating, the various assignments among the team, you know, how we're looking to enhance land use and development services for our member towns, and then to get feedback from all of you as well. So what I would ask in advance of that meeting, you know, once we've determined whether it'll be in May or in September, and Peter, we can talk about that, I would suggest, you know, reach out to your respective town planners, even feel free to invite them to that meeting and really talk to them a little bit about their interaction with CROG from a land use and development perspective, you know, what services they utilize the most and any thoughts they have for us for the future as well. So that would all be informative for a good interactive discussion. So we'll look to do that in May or September. And Peter, we'll coordinate with you on that. So moving on to my report, very, very pleased to announce one of our team members here, Ryan Faulkner, has recently been promoted to the new position of a senior GIS analyst. And that was effective as of April 1st, and Ryan is now reporting to Eric as part of our new GIS and IT unit that's part of Municipal Services. And at a future meeting, I know Eric and Ryan also want to come in to talk about our GIS services and a data center that we're working on. And I want to be able to provide that service to our member towns as well. So really excited to promote Ryan in this capacity and think he's going to do an outstanding job there. Next, we do have an open recruitment right now for a transportation planner. And we're recruiting at both the entry level and the senior level. I know it's a little confusing, but in our world, the senior level is actually the mid-level for a planner. And I think roughly about the end of this week, we're going to post for a regional planner to backfill Caitlin's position at the principal level. So the principal level, that's the highest level of planner within our organization. So right now we're recruiting for a transportation planner, and very soon we're going to be recruiting for a regional planner at the principal level. And if you know of anybody good out there who's looking for a new opportunity, would certainly request that you send them our way. A third item I wanted to touch on is next week on the 24th at 2 p.m., we're going to host a virtual meeting of the Central Connecticut Solid Waste Authority. And right now the authority, it consists of, we have 12 member towns, 11 of them are from CROG. And then we have the town of Cromwell. So our 11 CROG communities, we've got Avon, Bloomfield, Bolton, East Granby, Enfield, Farmington, Glastonbury, Granby, Hartford, Manchester, and Simsbury. So CSWA has not met since late 2019, so a little over 3 years. We're gonna convene the meeting, and as we talked about at the last policy board meeting, we're gonna have a very good presentation on our waste management study. The first two tasks that have been completed by our consulting team of RRS and Tetra Tech. And those of you who attend policy board meetings, you'll recall that that presentation. What we're also going to talk about at this meeting is how to get CSWA up and running and active again. And we're going to be recommending that they focus on a variety of administrative tasks. You know, since it's been 3 years, all of the municipal representatives to CSWA need to be reappointed. We're going to recommend that the organization critically review its bylaws. We need to update the service agreement that we have between CROG and CSWA. We want to talk about staffing resources and a grant that we've recently applied for. And we also want to talk about expanding the membership. You know, from staff's perspective, ideally, all, if not most, of CROG's member towns would also join CSWA, because we really want to be able to capture an economy of scale and provide a variety of waste management services to our members, you know, with the closure of the MIRA plant in Hartford here. We really see a tremendous, tremendous opportunity. So looking forward to a good meeting with the CSWA towns next week. And the policy board is also meeting next week. I'll be able to provide a report to the policy board regarding that meeting, how it went, et cetera. And I'll keep this committee informed as well, because we're going to be strongly recommending to CSWA that we grow and expand our membership, because we see the potential there. Moving on to my next item, strategic visioning. You've heard me talk about this before, a strategic planning initiative for CROG. We have retained a consulting team to serve as our facilitator for this project. We've retained Grossman Solutions. They're a local firm. They're going to serve as our facilitator. We're going to start off working with staff. We're going to hold a staff retreat in May. We're going to talk about our vision, our mission, our organizational values, and then importantly, what we see as key priorities. What are some key opportunities and some key challenges facing our region for the next 3 to 5 years? Then we're going to look to take that to the policy board. And I have asked Mayor Stewart if she would consider hosting, and she's supportive of this idea. We're going to look to schedule a special policy board meeting sometime in early to mid-June, so that we can hold a morning retreat with the policy board to talk about strategic visioning. And again, we're looking to set our key priorities for the next 3 to 5 years as part of this initiative. Moving on, very excited to announce, I want to congratulate Aaliyah Miller, as well as our consulting team of BBG&G Integrated Marketing. I've just received word that they're receiving a highly regarded award, the Gold Hermy Creative Award for Website Design. So really excited about that for CROG's new updated website. So big congratulations to Aaliyah and everybody else who worked on that project. I know it involved many, many of our CROG staff, in addition to the consulting team. Just two more items from me, Peter. I believe I mentioned this at your last meeting, but later this week, Laura Rosenbluth, Laura's gonna be sending an email to all of our member towns, and it's probably going to be to someone in your office, in the town manager's office, the first selectman's office, town administrator's office. We're looking for contact information for the people who serve as the public information officer or communication staff in your town. Now, we understand that many, if not most of our member towns, probably don't have a dedicated person with that assignment, probably do not have a full-time person working on that. It probably falls under someone's job description. But anyhow, we'd like to arrange a virtual meeting, meet and greet with all of our member towns, PIO and communication staff, so we can talk about how we share information as a region, you know, and how we can improve communications, how we can share one another's social media, any number of topics. We can also talk about best practices related to social media. Aaliyah's got a lot of great expertise in that regard. So, you know, if you could give the folks in your organization who work on these things a heads up that they're going to be getting an invitation from us soon, we'd really appreciate it. And then the last item from me, Peter, and would be looking for some feedback on this at a later point. Hopefully, most, if not all of you, have seen the new notice of funding opportunities for the second year of the Safe Streets for All program. You know, it came out at the very end of March, and municipalities are eligible to apply for planning and demonstration grants as well as implementation grants. Don't think you necessarily need to apply for a planning and demonstration grant, although that's a decision you need to make, because CROG, as you will recall, CROG did receive an award in the first round, a planning grant to update our regional transportation safety plan. However, I'm really hoping that a good number of our towns are interested in applying for an implementation grant. And there are two key things I wanted to highlight here. First of all, we're going to be asking you to fill out an interest form and to submit it back to us. And then secondly, your project needs to fulfill the criteria as a qualifying action under a viable safety plan. And a small number of our towns have their own plans, but most of our communities fall under CROG's Regional Transportation Safety Plan. So we are going to be doing an interim update like we did last year. We're going to be doing an interim update to include our recent roundabout study while we're working on the larger update. And again, I'm hoping that a good number of our towns are interested in planning to apply for this opportunity. If not, you know, we'd really like to learn more about what are the challenges. Is it the 20% match? Is it staff capacity? Do you not have qualifying projects? Really, what's holding us back? Because I'm concerned about us as a region and even other regions around the state not being in a position to apply for these grants and essentially leaving money on the table, if I can borrow that phrase from others. So I hope I'm wrong and that you know, a number of people are teed up to apply for this grant. That would be fabulous. We are planning to kick off the conversation in earnest with the Transportation Committee at its meeting next week on Monday. So I would urge all of you really to, you know, bring this to the attention of your TC representatives, you know, your town engineer, your public works director, whoever you've assigned to the Transportation Committee. Really, again, want to make sure that as a region, we're taking full advantage of these BIL opportunities. So I'll pause there, Peter. I know that's a lot. That's more than I typically provide, but I wanted to take some time today. I would suggest we move on to Pauline and then Kim, then we can open it up for questions for all three of us. Thank you.
All right. Hope everyone wrote writing down their questions for Matt. So, all right, let's move on to Pauline. Updates.
I was muted. So in terms of our PIP updates, I just have a few. One, we will be with those of you who are involved with the building official, we are going to be advertising for per diem official or officials, and then see what we get in terms of possibilities of candidates and people who could provide that service to the towns, and then take things from there with the towns who are interested in participating in that program. With regards to RPIP on the assessment side, we are looking for partners right now. We have one town who is definitely interested, and I think we would need one or two others in order to get that moving in a significant way. So please, if you're interested, please contact me, or if you're even partially interested, please contact me. With regards to the animal control, we had said that we were going to delay that for 6 months. However, a few towns have come forward, Newington, Weathersfield, and possibly Rocky Hill, to do something with regards to ACO because they have an immediate need. So we are going to be meeting with them sometime in the next 2 weeks. So that's the RPIP update for those two programs. Thanks to lots of work by Robin Nichols. Congratulations to her for all the effort she put in. We did put in for a Regional Waste Authority grant. We did not do it under CSWA because CSWA hadn't met yet, et cetera, and the coordination for that was a little too challenging. So we did it under CROG with the intention of partnering with CSWA if we were to get the grant. A couple of other updates that I have is job portal. If you recall, we started a sort of a shared job portal for the towns. At this point in time, we haven't had a champion in terms of the towns who are truly interested and truly want to use it. In addition, we are a little short on resources to be able to really give the job portal the care and feeding it needs and the attention it needs. And so we're going to put it on hold until there's an opportunity where we have more time and resources to put towards it, as well as sort of people who are champing at the bit, so to speak, for that project. And finally, before I forget, we will be sending out a brief 3 or 4 question budget survey on where your municipal budgets stood once they were passed in terms of the increases, et cetera. So those are my updates reports.
I have a question for Pauline. Pauline, can you add Hebron and Columbia to your regional animal control discussion?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, real quick, just a couple updates. The treated road salt bid is going to be issued beginning of June. So next week you'll be getting an email from me requesting your tonnage amounts that you are needing. And CROG and EPR Systems have a fully executed contract right now for fire EMS records management software. So anyone interested in that, please contact me. I'll get you set up with EPR. And lastly, CROG currently has an open RFQ for pre-employment firefighter and DPW physicals and medical services that will be closing on April 26th. So once that does close, we will review, and it is our hope that we will have a healthy list of providers to share with our towns for these services. That's it.
Oh, Peter, I think you're muted.
So on the physicals, is that going to be just pre-employment, or is that going to be ongoing? For example, volunteer firefighters and other are required to have physicals based upon age. Is that part of the scope of work?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
And the RFQ also stated, so some of the providers may or may not bid on all three. Some may just do firefighter. So it'll be dependent on the actual company, but yes, that is an option.
Okay, great. All right, I'm gonna open up questions for Matt, Pauline, or Kim. Jump right in case I miss anybody raising their hand. Matt, I had a quick question. The CSWA meeting on the 24th, is that open or available for non-members to participate, just to be able to try to get up to speed on what's happening?
Yeah, it is. It is an open meeting, Peter.
Okay.
No, we're really not widely we're not publicizing it to other member towns, but you know, you're certainly welcome, you know, and you served on the steering committee as well.
I'm trying to think of, you know, for us folks that are not towns, they're not members, you know, how that might look like as we move forward. And so I'm not sure if this is the you know, this is really going to be a beginning of the reorganization or relaunching. So it may not be the best meeting to join in to get a sense of it, but thank you. In terms of the safe streets, has staff been able to do a quick overview of the notice of funding availability or point us in that right direction just so we can evaluate and get our staffs to look at it?
We also have some good feedback from round one. You may recall we did, five towns from our region did submit an implementation grant that we didn't receive. Elizabeth, would you like to take that one, talk a little bit about round two, you know, what the federal government in particular is looking for? And oh, we can't hear you, Elizabeth.
Okay, can you hear me now?
We can.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Hi, everybody. I can drop the link to the summary of the NOFO as well. We did an update on our webpage for round two. And it just kind of highlights some of the selection criteria. It doesn't go into great detail. We're hoping to do that with a workshop, as well as introducing it at the TC meeting next Monday. And then doing a follow-up workshop. But there are a couple things that may be different for this round. They are talking about additional considerations to the criteria. So not the main selection criteria, but some additional. And one was a $10 million max. So maybe looking at smaller projects that really might be better beneficial for the towns anyway with the local match requirements. So just trying to think of ways you can do to improve this streets or you know sidewalks that are maybe even smaller lower cost projects in addition to some of the larger projects that you might have as well on your books. But it might be helpful to.
But it's on our web. It's on the website. The recaps on the overviews on the website, Elizabeth.
The NOFO summary is on the website, and then I don't know if we may have done a memo to TC about our debrief at the March meeting. I think I remember, so I can put that in on the web page as well, just so that memo is there if it's not already. But some of the feedback we had was that for the regional implementation grant application that we submitted for round one, the projects were so different that it didn't allow enough time in the 10-page max narrative to really give a compelling argument that our problem is being solved by the countermeasures and while meeting all of those selection criteria. So implementation grants, for example, have five selection criteria, and then there's a few additional considerations, and each project will need to demonstrate that they're meeting all of those in order to be competitive.
Okay, great. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thank you for covering that last point, Elizabeth. Can you briefly speak to the CT Built webinar that's coming up this week?
Yeah, also on the link is the scrolling down kind of towards the bottom of the page. There's a list of upcoming webinars, and one of them is for the state's Connecticut Bipartisan Infrastructure Law team, CT Built. There's a link to their flyer, and then also to register that webinar is tomorrow, the 19th, April 19th, 10 a.m. So, and I can try to put that registration link into the chat as well. There are a couple other USDOT webinars coming up. One is next Wednesday, April 26th. And then so that one's on action plans, which may not apply. The third webinar is supplemental planning and demonstration projects. That's the following day, Thursday, April 27th. And then implementation grants. So May 2nd, Tuesday, May 2nd, 1:30 to 3 p.m. And I'll see how these transfer over as I put them in the chat. So it doesn't look like the PDF carried over, but
those are on the web page, right?
Yes. Yep. You'll get linked. Yeah. You'll be able to see the links there. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. I didn't write down all my questions, so I apologize. I had a couple other questions, Matt, on yours, and they're escaping me right now.
I shouldn't have consolidated, Peter. Sorry about that.
It's all right. You did that on purpose. I know you did. Good former town manager. Any other questions? We covered a lot of ground in those reports. So if there isn't, we can move on to kind of municipal information sharing. And anybody have any pieces of information that for the good of the order, if you will? I do have a request. I'm in the hunt for a interim zoning enforcement officer, just part-time. And just like the dandelions are popping up in my front yard, we've got a whole host of zoning violations that are popping up. So if anybody knows anyone out there who might want to work 8 or 12 hours a week, please feel free to share my information with them. Anybody else have any either requests or information sharing?
Peter, I have a question, Mark, for the good of the group. Does anyone know if the legislation passed requirements for upgrading the animal control dog pounds within our towns to a higher standard of quality for our temporary guests?
I don't recall, Mark. I've seen the draft regulation, but I don't recall where it was in the process.
Okay. I didn't hear if it actually passed.
Right. I'll look that up. We'll get an answer.
Thanks, Matt.
What's the, what are folks hearing that's going to come out of finance and appropriations this week? Anything drastically different than the governor's proposal in terms of state aid? Yeah, I guess it's like years past where the first, they'll keep it until the very end of the, all right. So we have a host of future agenda items. I would like to, if possible, Matt, to keep, if Caitlin and staff is available, the land use and development services, maybe plan that for the May meeting. If they're ready.
Sounds good.
And so we have a couple items listed that that we identified. But again, as always, if you have agenda items that you'd like us to consider, please share those with whom? Matt and Pauline?
Kim and Pauline, primarily. Kim.
Okay, great. But if we did maybe land use and development on the, maybe we see where the staff from the staff reports, Matt, you'll be able to report out where CSWA stands and, a little bit maybe with it, where we are with the visioning, strategic visioning process, which I'm looking forward to. Anybody have any ideas off the top of their head now they'd like to keep move up on the list? Otherwise, we'll try to plug some of these other items in. We usually don't meet in June, because that is annual meeting month. And then we'd kind of take the July and August off and give staff a break from us. So, Eric.
I just wanted to let you know that your assessors and also your GIS folks should have heard from both myself and someone from Connecticut OPM, I think is Martin Heft, the undersecretary, about the annual parcel and CAMA data collection that OPM does. And the COGS are assigned to collect the data for OPM and pass it along to them from the towns. So if you have any questions, again, contact me on that one.
Do you remember offhand, Eric, when those are due?
May 1st.
All right. Right around the corner.
Right.
All right. Matt, your hand's perpetually up, so.
I know, bad habit. I did need to introduce a few folks earlier, and I forgot. Some first-time attendees today, I think. We've got Kimberly Lloyd, the finance director from the town of Manchester, and Megan Massa. Megan, if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, I hope so. Megan's with the town of Talon, so it's great to have them join us as well.
Thank you, Matt, for doing that. My little screen here is not showing them, so great. Welcome aboard. Thank you for attending. So, all right. How are things in Canton, Robert? Good?
Yep, things are going fine.
All right. I hear
you're hanging in there.
Hey, you're building a fire station or something like that, aren't you?
Yeah, we're building a fire station. I should start construction in about 60 days.
Cool. So, good, yep. Good. So, and just from a general overview on the managers and administrators front, there are a number of positions that are currently open in our fair state. So keep an eye open from those as they get posted, and let's see if we can scare up some good folks from our state or from outside of the state to come join us. So I think by last count, we had 6, maybe 7 communities that were in some stage or soon to be recruiting for administrator, town manager positions. So, all righty. We don't have any other business. Anybody else have anything else to share? Kim and Megan, as you can see, we're pretty informal here, so just jump right in. I often forget to look for anybody that's raised their hand, so I apologize for that. So, all righty. Thank you very much, and look forward to seeing everyone soon.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Take care. Thanks.